Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's delicious.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Blaze, Rudo, AJ coming to you live as the Avs defeat the St. Louis Blues 4-2 to head into the All-Star break.
The Avs allow St. Louis to visit the Arch and then send them home.
We'll get more into this conversation as AJ's going to do the 60-second rundown and we'll talk about it all. But I just want to throw it out there. Avs never trailed in this hockey game.
It's true.
AJ, it's your 60 seconds, though, so I'll leave it to you.
How best to start a hockey game after such a disappointing loss 2 days ago?
By being good?
By a totally dominant first period in which you score twice. And it's not your superstars vibing. It's Alex Newhook. It's Logan O'Connor. Sam Girard.
Right, you ready? Ooh. He's been going.
I'm going, man. 1, 2, 3. Great. So
just bought himself an extra 20 seconds.
How best to start a game after a disappointing loss 2 days ago? No, honestly, getting out and getting up 2-0 early on in the game and just completely dominating. Completely dominating. St. Louis. I mean, it's a great start. You get out up 2-0 into the first, and then third. You get into the second period, and you're looking for that third. You're like, okay, next goal is going to be really important.
Yep.
You know, probably will decide the game, and it does. So keep that in mind, because they get that third goal. Evan Rodriguez gets it. It's great. Have a 3-0 lead. Things go downhill from there after a little bit of a Binnington scrum. They get one on a power play they didn't deserve. They get a breakaway on a bad play in the third period. And then Georgiev comes up big late. They get the saves they didn't against Anaheim. You win 3-2.
Sometimes the math is easy.
Well, so building off that
except
point.
Except for that they won 4-2. Let's, but, you know.
Well, okay. So, but you know what I mean with 3-2.
I know.
Functionally, it's 3-2. We talked 2 days ago about Pavel Francouz.
Yep.
Where we said there were two goals that we had big problems with Pavel Francouz giving up, and they functionally lose that game 4-3.
And Georgiev was two goals better tonight.
He does not give up the freebie today.
Yep.
It is literally the difference in the game. It is the difference between winning and losing. It is the difference between a number one starter and a guy that you really like as your backup.
And there was two high danger chances in that third period that
he
could have gone
had
the wrong
to make
way.
Those. Yep. He had Absolutely. To make those saves. Yep. So you go from, again, a functional 4-3 loss to a functional 3-2 win.
Yep.
Empty netters obviously changed the final score. Yeah. No, I know. I'm saying
mechanically 3-2 and 4-2
exactly.
is not different.
Like, they were the empty net goal with 3 seconds remaining. It didn't matter. That guy could have just rimmed that thing around the boards and they
Same
still would
result.
Have won. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's important to start right there because we saw that difference where we said you needed more from your goaltender 2 nights ago. You get that tonight I guess this afternoon, you get that from the guy that you think is going to be your starting goaltender, from the guy that you went out and got in the offseason, that you've turned over this job to, you've signed to a three-year deal, and he gives you those saves. He continues to build the confidence that he can be the man.
It's it really is an interesting conversation, because we also talked about in that game against Anaheim, look, the reality of the depth side of your defense is they're kind of banging up against their ceiling on some nights. And you saw that again in the third period of this game. This time it just didn't cost them the game because you had Georgiev behind them.
Yeah, another big mistake, though. I mean, that Ben Myers turnover.
Yeah, you just can't.
And Brad Hunt, my man, if you're going to commit the penalty,
just tackle it.
Commit the damn penalty, my guy. Just
get your money's worth next time.
Yeah, get him, big dog. Just eat that guy up. Tackle him. Like, take his phone number, tickle him if you want while he's on the ice. You know,
blow him a kiss.
Do whatever, untie his skates, like whatever the hell you want to do, man. Just get your money's worth. Don't give him the drive-by side hug, draw the penalty, and then let that guy do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Definitely.
In the first place, don't turn that. That's the worst play we've seen from Ben Myers all season. It's brutally bad.
I mean, let's just talk about Ben Myers here.
Brutally
for a second,
bad.
Because to that point, he had played a fantastic hockey game.
He'd been so good, and even really evens it out with a goal for each team that he kind of creates for each club, because the him winning the board battle 1v2. Creates their second goal. LOC goes over and picks up the puck and gets the assist. But that starts because Ben Myers wins that battle.
Yeah.
That starts with the Ben Myers 1v2 situation where he wins it. So I don't want to just crush Ben Myers and be like, bro, didn't do anything. That's the, you know, he helped create that goal for the Avs. He helped create that goal for the Blues.
It's
the big difference in this game is that he helped create a goal for the other team, and that's not been happening.
Yeah.
But between Ben Myers and Dennis Malgin, you really see the makings of an actual fourth line that another team has to care and respect.
I really, really, Ben Myers deserved better on a handful of plays tonight, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
But you just can't. That's the mistake that a rookie just can't make, right?
How predictable was it when he and Dennis Malgin have a 2-on-1 and Malgin decides to shoot? Because you're like, here comes. They're like, this could be it. This could be it. And Malgin's like, I'm shooting it. This is all me. I don't know what that was.
Oh, and he went for the kill, too.
That was the Rapids interview they did earlier.
Nice.
Yeah. Nobody saw that but you guys.
I thought it was subliminal, and I was like, I don't know who that was. I don't know what message I'm supposed to be receiving.
Anyway, there's going to be some negativity around the third period of this hockey game, but I want to, like, all positives in the world to the first 40 minutes, well, 35 minutes of this hockey game from Colorado. And honestly, I don't even blame them for the first goal against that nonsense penalty.
It's where, not a penalty, man.
Yeah.
Like, can we just really quickly touch on the fact that somebody in chat was like, what happened there to get that penalty? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Jordan Binnington jumped into the scrum late, and the Avs come away with the
so
extra penalty.
Yeah, so you get, like, LOC gives the little poke to Binnington, which starts the whole thing. And then, I don't remember, it's LOC and whichever Blues player kind of get wrapped up. And then McDermott comes flying in from the point. And you understand where he gets the penalty, too. But it's not like McDermott went in there and touched nobody.
Had zero problems with matching minors.
Yeah, there was no issues there. It should have been two matching minors. Or just the one, and you leave it. Giving the extra one to McDermott was nonsensical.
Yeah.
Because Binnington circles back around and jumps on him and goes after McDermott, which, again, Jordan Binnington's going to do. He didn't want any of that smoke. And then he had teammates around him, and he had Curtis McDermott's back turned. And that is when Jordan Binnington is like, ooh, I played video games growing up. This is when you attack the boss. So that's what he tried to do. I mean, it's just your typical baby back bullshit from Jordan Binnington.
Yep.
He's just a coward.
Yep.
Not to mention not a very good goalie, but a coward on top of it. And listening to ESPN's broadcast pump it up like, what a great job by him to turn it. Like, he didn't do any of that.
Yeah, stop Stop, like, letting him get away with that stuff.
I hard agree. The NHL needs to punish that. Yeah,
the refs need
more.
To stop protecting him.
Yep. Yeah.
He wants it.
Yeah.
He wanted Curtis McDermott. He should have gotten the full boat. Mm. And if he can hang and if he wins that battle, everybody's respect for that dude jumps up by 1,000.
Yep. You imagine because the refs pulling guys off and being like, okay, you two go at it.
He would have at least defended it. It would have been fine, right? You would have been like, hey, he wanted it. He got it. He held his own. You can't say anything about it.
Just one time have that guy go at someone who's ready for him.
But the fact is that he continues to jump in and go after and go after guys that are either already engaged or aren't interested at all. I can't help but think about the when he against the Islanders earlier this year when he chest bumped Ilya Sorokin, like the nicest, most unassuming young guy in the league, who's just like, I'm just here to stop pucks.
He actively
and he chest bumps the guy at center ice, and then when his team like. His teammates have to get involved in all this because he won't do it. He'll spur on the crowd. Yeah, boo me. I'm such a villain. Like, bro, everybody hates you because you are a world-class coward.
All it would take is one time to actually face the dude that's looking. Georgiev was there, dude. Georgiev scored it out and was like, what's up?
The officials... cowards too.
Yeah.
Because Georgiev wanted the smoke. Let Binnington and Georgiev have at it.
Yep.
Let them settle it. What NHL am I living in? I'm not even a huge like
fight person.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge advocate of fighting is extremely important or anything. But you know what? It's in the game for these situations. They wanted it. Give it to them both. Let them settle it.
This is where
bunch of cowards.
I agree. Generally in the NHL, I don't think it's necessary for the players to have to settle it themselves like they used to. When it's clear the refs are just not doing an effective job of denying Binnington from doing this bullshit, someone's gotta.
And actively rewarding him.
Yeah.
You know, you put them on a power play. You put them on a power play and you incentivize it. You tell Jordan Binnington, hey, not only is this a thing that we're fine with, but you should be doing this because we're not going to penalize you in a meaningful way because a goalie doesn't have to serve a misconduct. He doesn't have to do any of this bullshit. He just gets to keep doing his thing. It's somebody else's problem. Doesn't hurt his team any. He's already hurt his team when he gave up 3 goals. He has no downside to act like this because the refs won't let him get the ever-loving shit kicked out of him. And that's what he's earned.
Blaze, I got a couple of questions for you. Number one, have you ever seen a goalie fight in person?
Yes, and it's bad. Like a I've seen goalie on player where a waffle board to the mouth took out some teeth.
Jesus.
Milan Hayduk night when Devin Dubnyk did it to Gabe Landeskog.
That's right, yeah.
And
rocked him. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes, it's brutal.
And I asked Landy about it after the game, and he was like, he's a bitch. He hit me with his blocker.
Yeah.
Like, if I could hit him in the face with a blocker, I bet I'd do some damage too. And you're like, all right, well, next time take the blocker off of him.
Yeah.
Beat him with it.
Yeah.
Number two here. This one's for both of you. Should goalies have to serve their own penalties?
Yes.
Wait.
Like, so go to the box.
Backup has to come
in. Yeah, I mean, you can put whoever you want out there, but the goalie has to go in the box, yeah.
So you'd have to put a goalie in and a player. Right? Because you can't...
No, I would put the... I'm not putting the goalie in the box.
You wouldn't have
to
put a player on, but you could only put 4 on the ice.
I'm putting the goaltender on the bench. I'm not actually putting him in the box.
He just can't be on the ice.
Because I don't know that some of those guys with all that gear could like get in and out smoothly.
No, that should be part of
the thing. No, but hold on. I'm trying to think of the technical side of it because like then when the 2 minutes is up, what?
No, your goalie's got to skate to the bench. Yeah.
So it's like, that's awesome. Like you're making them do shit now. Like how fast can you skate to the bench now? Yeah.
Or you can pull the goalie line change.
Oh, God. I like it. It's kind of interesting.
I like the idea of goalies having to serve their own penalties because I think it's stupid that they don't.
Yeah.
In the same way that when you ice a puck with the goalie pulled, you shouldn't be allowed to put him back in.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
Like there should be consequences for incompetence here. There should be consequences for breaking the rules. So, yeah. Anyway, I would just personally be all about goalies having more consequences.
Just generally?
Yeah.
Well, so then, like, right, you're on your backup goalie because your goalie got hurt. You don't have your e-bug up yet. You have one person there. You're just screwed. It's like, well.
EJ, get the pads on.
It's not even that. It's like, well, you have five, but you don't have a goalie. Enjoy. Yeah.
I mean. Tell your goalie not to commit penalties. Like, seriously.
But they happen, though, too. Like, you're always going to take penalties.
Most of their penalties are either interference or tripping.
Yeah, and, like, I'm trying to
and
think.
And those are all entirely of their own
when's
making.
The last time a goalie had more than 10 penalty minutes in a season? Like,
it was probably Ray Emery. And it was probably all fights. That guy loved fighting.
That's true.
The last question I want to answer, you tweeted out the reverse of this from your wife.
Yes.
Should the guy who draws the penalty get an assist? Should the guy who takes the penalty that leads to a goal for the other team
get the minus?
Get a minus or a goal against or some kind of statistic there?
I think a minus one would be fun. Yeah. It's a stupid stat anyway. Why not just make it stupider?
That's what I mean. Stupider. Nice.
I think the other side of it's more interesting. Like, does the guy who draws the penalty deserve a little more credit when their team scores on it?
But, I mean, she said it to me, and I was like, that's actually really interesting. I wonder what other people would think about
in
that.
In the same way, I've always thought in basketball that when a guy has a pass that leads to a foul, and if that guy makes his free throws, he should get an assist
on
just
it.
The one, but he should get an assist.
Yeah.
Why is there a giant second in the middle of our screen?
Because he wanted to say it should be a secondary assist. That's why that was up there.
He's just giga-braining it now. Yeah. Look, this game was really fun for 40 minutes. The Avs were just cruising, certainly the first 30 minutes.
Nope.
There you go.
The,
I hate that you guys
can
see everything.
And I think what part of what made the last part of this game so frustrating is the Blues were really not even competitive for the first half of this game.
Dude, they slept through it.
The Avs were just dominating every single facet of the game, which the Avs deserve credit for in the stretch that they did it, particularly all of their depth forwards.
I have my sunglasses in the car because we're upstairs. There's only one light. And I can live through this.
Slacker.
It's the three that have really been bothering me.
Yep.
It's great over here. Nice and shady.
Team Shady Rays. Shout out.
Shady Blaze.
Shady Blaze.
Shady Blaze for Shady Rays.
Yeah. Yeah.
P.S. You can get your sunglasses at ShadyRays.com. 50% off when you use code DNVR to order two or more. I really, really want to stress how well the Avs depth forwards played, because there have been long stretches of the season
best forwards
where the Avs just were getting nothing out of those guys.
Won them a game today.
Yep.
Oh, let's talk about Newhook's goal.
Let's talk about the birthday boy.
It's a good thing you have that laptop over there. So you're talking about that goal.
It's just like,
yeah, exactly.
Look, man, I'd get horny for the Hulk, too. It's fine. Newhook. I want to talk about this whole play, because there are like three or four really, really good plays on this entire sequence of a breakout through into the zone.
Yeah.
Because it starts with beautiful work from Sam Girard to get it up and out of the zone, out to Logan O'Connor, who makes a beautiful pass, the second pass in a row that goes off the boards and around a defender to get it to Newhook in the zone.
Yeah, really, really good play by Brad Hunt, because that is a play that is coming back towards them. And
it was Brad Hunt. My bad.
This is a thing where the Avs kill other teams.
Yep.
They kill other teams in this area alone, where they push the play. They think the team thinks it's coming one direction. And the Avs just go, nah. And they drop that reverse Uno card. And it's back in the zone. And it's a really nice play. It's a good read from Brad Hunt. It looks easy, but he makes the decision and he executes it. Because a lot of times you'll see guys of Brad Hunt's caliber can do one of those things. They can either make the pass, but they don't see it quickly enough.
Yeah.
Or they see it, but they can't execute
it. They can't make that,
yeah. And he does a good job doing both of them, which leads to it's a picture perfect touch pass from LOC. It's great. And as much as we've been like, oh, we want to see LOC score a goal, you know, I don't care.
He's finding ways to be effective, yeah.
The point is that we've been talking about is from trying to get goals from LOC and Ben Myers and all that is somebody has to help. Nathan McKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. And they needed more production from the lineup. LOC has 3 multi-point games in the last 14 games.
Pretty good.
Dope.
They're all assists, but do you care?
Not
of course
all.
Not. That guy continues to play great hockey for you. LOC combined with Alex Newhook was the combination none of us knew that we needed.
It's the thing, especially with Newhook, that I think this goal exemplifies is, look, we've all known Newhook has a really high skill ceiling. We understand that. But he seems to have unlocked the LOC part of his game. He goes in, the first attempt doesn't go in, but he creates a rebound, sticks with it, outworks everyone, and the rebound ends up in the back of the net.
Well, and he keeps himself in the position to shoot that rebound, right?
Like he doesn't, good point.
He keeps his hips open, he doesn't close up, so he gets that rebound. He's ready to just push that puck back on net.
Yeah, and the leverage is still there because a lot of times a guy will not be in position
to cut across.
Well, and the leverage will go, and his balance will be off, and then all of a sudden he's leaning on 1 foot or whatever.
Yep.
He was still straight up where he could leverage his body into a shooting position like that, and it's just a great play by Alex Newhook.
Yeah, and AJ, what you were hitting on, like we teach kids this all the time because like in the neutral zone, speed kills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do a quick just transition over and go to offense, you catch everybody off guard and they're not in the right spots. And it's hard to find out what your assignments are as that team is going on the forecheck into your zone.
You want to know how hard it is in the NHL to pick up transition defense and why goals get scored in transition the way that they do? Pause the puck with the puck is on Brad Hunt's stick. Pause it, get out of stopwatch, start it, start the play, and then see how long it is till the puck is in the net. It's going to be about 4 seconds.
Literally 5 seconds.
It's going to be about 4 or 5 seconds, and that's how fast St. Louis has to go from we're attacking, we're getting to where we need attack-wise, now we're trying to defend transition defense.
Yeah.
And it happens immediately. It's much easier for the offensive player. Oh, I've got an opening here. I'm going to chip this ahead. I'm going to let Newhook go and get it. That's what LOC does. And then Newhook does the rest of it. It's all skill from there.
Well, not only do they have to adjust to moving back on defense, when you get a good play or two like you did from Colorado there, you just torch two of their guys. And all of a sudden, everyone less has to adjust and fill in for those guys that are now beat.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's just an insane amount of calculations going on in dudes' heads to even know where to be, let alone get there.
It's perfect transition offense from all three levels right there through from the defensive zone. I'm not sure if he actually gets all into the defensive zone or if it's just that side of the ice.
Yeah, it's close.
But from Brad Hunt onto LOC onto Newhook, it's perfect transition offense.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were dominating the game. They were flying around. They were creating chances. They looked great and capitalizing there. You know, you get Newhook capitalizing again, and whew.
When it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
That just, third line, man. Oh, yeah.
Genuinely, it's crazy their best line over the last little while. Man.
Like Andrew Cogliano's contributions also should not be overlooked in that because we're talking about LOC and Newhook, but Cogliano has also been a really important member of that group.
Up to 8 goals on the year for Cogs, which I still have serious questions about his play at times, but the goal scoring cannot be denied. He's been effective in that area for Colorado. Yeah. On that note, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. If you didn't catch us at the farmhouse the other day, that was a fun little show we did.
Man, it was a great time. There were a couple of the homies that came out. Loved seeing them.
Yep, it was a good time. Their special, whatever they had in the morning.
Oh, the breakfast bowl burger.
Yeah, it was.
It was like a ball of Kobe beef.
Yep.
With an egg on it.
So good.
I forgot all the other stuff. Those are the things that stood out to me.
Yeah. Damn, I missed out.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Everybody else did. They ran out of them. It was so popular, they ran out of specials.
So if you're local, go check out the Breck Farmhouse down in Littleton. If you're not, you can still get the Breck beer at your local liquor store. Use the Breck beer locator online.
So we have one of our members just joined in, just moved here. Mm-hmm. Took a job here in Denver and just moved here. One of our regulars in Discord and all that. And he's like, all of my favorite new beers are Breck beers. And I'm like, dude, welcome to Colorado, yeah. Brother. It's not an intentional thing, but you'll just find that those just beers
how
are just
it works. Yep.
Those are just the ones.
Well, and look, Avalanche Amber Ale is now kind of the only amber ale on the market that's good. So
good, solid, reliable beer.
That's all I'm saying is it's the one to go to if you need an amber nowadays. Because other companies make dumb decisions. Anyway, check out Jive Hive. If the alcohol isn't for you, maybe you're more of a weed person. You know, I know plenty of people that prefer weed to alcohol. I'm not one of them, to be honest. But I might become one when I don't have to go anywhere to get my weed. And that's exactly what Jive Hive does. Thing too. Yeah, straight up.
You're gonna start bringing weed to me. Well, it's gonna change my relationship with weed quite a bit.
I'm saying. You can check out Jive Hive at jivehive.com. That's JiveHyve.com. You can get it delivered ASAP if you need your buzz now. Or, of course, you can schedule a delivery in the future. You know you're going to be at home vegging on the couch. Bring it right to your door. You're good to go.
Hit me for the next 9 days, baby. No kidding. I'm leaving my house once, and it is Monday morning.
So they really are great, especially this time of year with how snowy a winter we've had. You don't have to go out and all that stuff to get what you need. Go check them out, jivehive.com. Get your order delivered same day or whenever you need it. They'll be there to say hi. They do only service certain areas of Colorado. Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County. Make sure you go to their website, type in your address to make sure they have you covered. JiveHive.com. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's take a look at it this way. We'll get to the third goal. I understand that's a big goal. I understand your top guys came through for you on that goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple games in a row now where you really haven't gotten good enough out of your top forwards.
Yeah, if you go into the analytics of it through two periods, McKinnon was dominant, and it was the Rantanen line that was really struggling.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
You are still talking about Mikko Rantanen is still trying to figure out how to hard carry a line every single game, and he's struggling because when he's not going 100%, he no longer has Nathan McKinnon next to him to lift him up. He's having to lift up JT Compher every game or an Evan Rodriguez, you know, depending on what the alignment is, obviously. Yeah. But that's where, you know, in this case, it's Matt Nieto. But I think that you are seeing that there's still an adjustment period going on for Mikko of having to be the guy, trying to figure out to be the guy. And he just didn't play very well today.
As a whole, yeah.
Yeah, overall, he finishes with an assist, because of course he does. But but just not a very good game from him. And outside of the goal, I don't love Evan Rodriguez's game once again.
Yeah.
Now, you can't just discount the goal. It's a really important one. It's the game-winning goal. And it's the kind of production that you just simply need. And hey, if you're not going to play very well, you might as well not play very well and score a goal while doing it.
It's just interesting. And while you certainly can be frustrated with the top level of play, I think while McKinnon did have a dominant first two periods, I think you still want more out of him than
individually. You absolutely want more, yeah.
Especially after he crushed a post in the first period.
Yeah.
The
first couple of minutes, he rips a post, and you're thinking, okay, are we going to get some?
This
is going to
be a
Nate.
This is going to be a Mac night. Yeah.
And it didn't quite end up being like that.
Yep.
But on the other hand of that, it is kind of a positive to see the Avs.
Yeah, this doesn't matter anymore.
Winning games with their depth scoring.
Yeah.
It just makes such a huge difference for hockey teams when if their top guys aren't having the best night, they can still win. And in past last season, when they were healthy, the Avs could get by doing that with quality defense. The guys they're missing right now, realistically, they just can't really do that with defense anymore. They need the depth scoring, and hopefully that changes after the All-Star break. But they had to get through this one first.
They had four big injuries, and we expect three of them to be in the lineup on day one when they return. When they go to Pittsburgh, we expect all of Nichushkin, Bowen Byram, and Josh Manson to be in that lineup.
Yep.
Ooh, that changes the complexion of this team.
We're going to see how much. Just because, again, when you talk about trying to protect a lead late in the game, how much does it hurt not having a Val Nichushkin?
It's true. I mean, the other thing that you did see today that was promising is that fourth line actually played minutes.
Well, when you see where the making of it, where Matt Nieto is right now is not where Matt Nieto would stay.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And you get Nichushkin back. He replaces Matt Nieto, and Nieto drops down to your fourth line.
Yeah.
We'll see what kind of ice time they get when he's down there. But you could right now, I personally, I know that Bednar won't because he won't break up a good thing, but Nieto taking Cogliano's spot on that left wing,
add a little more gas to that.
I think would make it a little bit better. And then having Cogliano with Myers and Malgin, or Nieto with Myers and Malgin, you're feeling so much better about. Your fourth line in that situation.
Given Cogliano's finishing this year, I don't hate that next to Myers and Malkin. Nieto is not going to help that line's finish very much.
He scored his ninth goal today.
Into an empty net.
Same goals as Cogliano, though.
Well, he also was playing 17 minutes a night in San Jose.
Yeah.
To feel better about yourself.
Yahir's calling out your typos tonight, chat. That's where we're at.
I can't spell period, and you can't spell walking. I'm all for it.
Yahir lives to dunk on typos.
That's his life now.
If fuels him.
I have nothing else to live for.
When you look at the Avs lineup, and indulge me here. I know this is in a real scenario. Val, Manson, Bo, you can only pick one to come back at the end of the All-Star break. Which one are you taking?
Bo.
Yeah, same Bo.
Just Bo? Easy Bo? Okay.
Well, it's fair. You just, like, if you're looking at, like, is it the forwards or defense that's kind of in the struggle bus when you're starting to look at matchup and what's happening in the defensive zone, I will take the guy that was dominant in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year to come back and help strengthen up that defensive blue line.
Absolutely, it's Bo.
I think you could maybe talk me into Val.
My thing is that I think the difference between, I guess in this case, Matt Nieto and Val Nichushkin is not as large as the difference between Bowen Byram and
Andreas Englund.
Curtis McDermott, Brad Hunt, like whichever one of those guys. I think that Byram's ceiling is just way up there.
It's fair.
And are going to obsess over the with or without you record of Nichushkin and attribute it solely to Nichushkin.
Nathan MacKinnon was also missing all of those games.
Right. You guys remember how many of the games with Nichushkin out, they were out four other guys.
Right.
And we've seen him in the lineup. Yeah, he absolutely makes a difference. Yep. But attributing the with and without you record to one single guy is absolutely insane. So I'm not with that, and I'm looking at the difference between the guys that because if you change the lineup today and you have you put Bo into today's lineup and you get the Byram that you think you're getting, not like the early season version that hadn't figured it out yet, you get the guy from the postseason.
Yep.
You're talking about a bona fide, no doubt about it, top three defenseman for you. And it just trickles down and makes you so much better. It makes you so much better defensively, especially because Sam Girard's been really good over the last couple of games. He was really good again today.
Yep.
And it's your defense with Devontaeves, Cale Makar, Bo Byram, and Sam Girard playing like the Sam Girard that we're all about. Oh my gosh.
It's so much better.
It is so much better.
I don't want to continue harping on guys' poor play, but the Avs just need more options that can move the puck out more effectively for them from their defensive side. We've seen
obviously, you're not expecting a ton there out of guys like Englund and McDermott, but when you see guys like EJ also struggling with that, the Avs just don't have enough dudes that can do that effectively right now.
Yeah.
And they're getting by with their forwards, right? They have enough forwards to get by and do the things they need to do.
They're scoring 3 goals a game.
Yep.
That's enough to win every single night in the NHL.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm here for it. I'm here for the bow take. Hopefully, they have all 3 of those guys back, though. So it's just not even a conversation, and the Avs just get way better.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah, and really, like, that's the fun part about this. They don't have to pick, man. All 3 are on track to return after the break.
So, is there cause for concern about the Avs with leads?
Mm-hmm.
This is now 2 games in a row where a multi-goal lead got, in this case, only dicier than it needed to be instead of a loss. AJ, you looked it up during the game. They have 8 blown leads this year.
Yeah. 100% you have concern about them protecting leads.
Yeah, I sure. Yeah,
you do. Like, you just do.
I struggle to separate their blown leads and their injury troubles.
Well, and that's the thing, is that you say, okay, well, how many of those blown leads have come with healthy rosters? And almost none of them have.
Yeah.
So, or they happen in the first few weeks of the season when nobody is any good in the NHL.
Just nonsense is
like
happening.
We talk about the first 15 games of the year every season in the NHL are complete chaos. So, yeah, it's a problem, but also they didn't blow today's lead. You don't add today to the pile.
It's true.
Because they got up 3-0 and won 3-2. Do you like how it finished? No.
But it did finish with a W.
But they finished with a regulation win. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you talk about trying to protect the lead, you're talking about a team that's going to play more defensive. How much does Bowen Byram, Josh Manson, Val Nichushkin, and Gabe Landeskog make you better defensively when you're trying to protect the lead? Yeah, sorry, 4-2. I keep forgetting the empty net goal happened. My brain just will not register. It just will not register.
I mean, it didn't really matter unless you were betting on the game. So
which, nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way.
That goal was kind of a big deal for you.
Yeah, right? It was, yeah.
hit you a bet and a half there.
So you are talking about like that, the difference in blowing a lead with the group that you have where they're coming at you with a different level of energy, a different level of desperation, and they're attacking Curtis McDermott, who has just a myriad of problems on any given night, and Brad Hunt, who defensively is just terrible, and Andreas Englund, who on any given day, I would say over the last week, Andreas Englund has just been like, there have been things that I've really liked, and there have been a lot of things that you're just like, oh, jeez.
The blown tire today.
That's that was like brutal. The third game in a row where he's blown a tire. It's just a weird thing.
Well, and the other part of this, too, is once Byram, Manson are back, and you start short-shifting that defense in the third period, you feel 100% comfortable saying, okay, we're going back, you know. It's Kale's line. It's Bo's line. It's Kale's line. It's Bo's line.
Yeah.
When you feel pretty good
and,
about that.
Well, and to be honest, when Eric Johnson's having a tougher night, instead of looking at Eric Johnson and saying, we really just have to keep rolling him over the boards.
Like, okay, cut that dude's minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. You say, okay, well, that guy's going to play 14 minutes and we're going to lean into some of the other guys.
Yeah.
How much better might we see out of a Sam Girard in protecting a lead when he has a Bowen Byram next to him?
Yep.
Yeah. Or he has a Josh Manson next to him. Because you guys might remember that when Girard and Manson were together,
they were vibing
during the postseason last year. They were very, very, very good.
So it really is encouraging here that the Avs have gone 7-1 over the stretch. And they're about to get guys back.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not letting the almost blown lead color the fact that they, those last 8 games, they lose to Chicago, and we're all kind of like, okay, they can't continue to do this. We look at the schedule. They go 7-1.
Yep.
They go 7-1 from that from the Chicago loss. And, of course, you don't like the loss that you have. But you also can't sit here and lament blown leads. They won seven games.
Yeah.
And almost all of those are in regulation. When given the given how low their regulation win number is and where they are in the pack, that tiebreaker could be a very important thing for them this year. So they needed to continue to win these games and continue to win them in regulation. Yeah. The almost blown lead today, look, it you don't love it, but you get through it.
But that W is in the same font as every other W.
Exactly, and you are looking at it, and you're saying, okay, in that 7-1 stretch, how many leads did they blow?
Just the one. They literally didn't trail for six straight games.
The Washington game, so you have the Calgary game. Calgary pushes all third period. Washington pushes all third period. St. Louis pushes all third period.
Well,
and all of those end in regulation victories.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that you love to bring up, pick one of the better teams in this stretch that they beat and swap that with the loss.
Yeah.
And you really don't even think about it.
If they lose to Washington, regardless of how it happens, but they beat Anaheim, how differently do you feel today?
I mean, I feel the same because they
won. I feel exactly the same.
Yeah, I think people feel more confident about it. I mean, and this is the thing, like, even last year, right? Like,
which is a weird thing because
you lose to these teams.
Like, which of these teams are you going to play in the postseason?
Right.
Are you going to play good teams or bad teams?
Yeah.
If the teams you can't beat don't make the playoffs, you're chilling.
Yeah. Like, if those are all your losses, well, you don't love that. Well, but like, you have to lose sometime.
Last year, they lost to Arizona, and it was like, this team isn't going to go anywhere in the playoffs. They can't even beat the Coyotes.
Not quite the case.
Our Carmine is in here, who comes in every once in a while and reminds everybody that he's a Blues fan every time, is coming to visit the Arch, like his boys did today. Hope you enjoyed visiting. It's still ours, so enjoy missing the postseason this year. So, you know.
Are you going to root for us when O'Reilly gets traded to the Avs?
Yeah, what's going to happen when they blow that team up at the deadline and you guys end up with the 11th pick?
Rough.
Did you just bark?
Kinda.
Yeah.
That's what I would be doing if I was a Blues fan and that happened. I'd turn into a dog, confirmed.
I mean, well, they are, as we saw with Binnington, it's all bark and no bite.
True. Got him. On that note, we are brought to you.
It's like a Pomeranian, man. He just yips.
Chihuahua.
Yeah, just Blues fans are just Pomeranians with internet connections.
Look, if you don't want to be a Pomeranian, and you want to grow up into a big, strong lab or a Rottie or one of the big, strong dogs.
Yeah, be a Rottie.
Athletic Greens. Get over to athleticgreens.com/avalanche to let them know we sent you there. Athletic Greens, just one scoop in your cup of water every single morning. You'd have a drink of it. It gets everything going for you. It's got 75 different vitamins and minerals, a bunch of adaptogens, and I buy probiotics. Probiotics, that's the right one. All sorts of great stuff for you that helps boost your immune system. A lot of athletes use it as part of their daily workout routines. It's just amazing for you. And the best part is that it's fast and easy. Jump on it. You drink the cup of water and a minute in your morning routine. You're good to go. Feeling good. Excuse me. Athletic Greens, you can jump over there, take control of your health today at athleticgreens.com/avalanche. When you order, you also get a year's supply of vitamin D sent to you too. So jump on it, get with Athletic Greens, get healthy, get going. Or as the cool kids call it these days, AG1. I promise they call it that.
They do.
Nobody calls it that.
They do.
It's what it's called. AJ is allowed to be wrong. Also brought to you by DraftKings. Go over to DraftKings right now. Use the DNVR code. When you bet $5 on any NBA game, you get $200 in free bets. You don't even have to get the bet correct. So it's just $200 to play with on DraftKings. Use that. Turn it into whatever you want. You can bet on whatever you want. What was Matt Nieto to score a goal tonight? I bet you
plus 800.
That's pretty good money right there. You could have got paid on that one. Love to see it. You can jump in, bet on ridiculous stuff. PK Subban was stealing our bit about Carjitsu today. So,
so during the off day, we need to have a video breakdown of some Carjitsu.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, look, we know Joe Sakic's a long time loyal listener to the podcast. I'm assuming Chris McFarland now also is. So,
oh, they traded for Nieto just to spite you, for sure.
Totally. Oh, yeah, AJ?
I make my own moves.
Yeah. Now, PK Subban listening to the pod. I mean, look, PK, anytime you want to come hang out, bar's open, buddy.
Hell yeah. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
So, turnover so bad, Ben Myers gets immediately demoted to Loveland.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
I mean... What's the big deal? He goes down there during the break to keep playing and vibing.
Is he actually demoted?
Yeah, that's not a real demotion. That's a break demotion.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
There's nine. It's totally days fine. Here.
You don't need to worry about it.
No vacation for you, kid.
No. Let him keep playing. He's playing great hockey. Yeah. Let him stay in rhythm.
Yeah.
Here for it.
He's only playing 8 minutes a night. He's not tired. And he's 23. He's not tired.
So the third period was bad. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
In the sense that this team has got to figure out how to stop just completely shutting it down.
Yeah.
That's really it. And we talked about, again, when you do get your guys back, defensively is where your floor
goes way
goes up. So up, because that's where you have the most AHL players right now.
Well, they're just getting, I mean, in the third period, what you're seeing is it looks like a tired defense getting hemmed into their zone, and you don't have the puck movers that you have back there if it's not your top line, and they're just forcing them to make those plays against the two defensive partners until they screw up.
Well, and you've got you have Eric Johnson not playing great hockey, and at this point in his career is not a natural puck mover anymore.
Yep. No.
Brad Hunt is a quality puck mover. I like his puck moving, but his defense is so bad that he doesn't get very many opportunities to move it. And Andreas Englund and Curtis McDermott are big.
That is a true statement. You've stated a fact.
End of list. But yeah, those guys, again, puck moving, not a strength through the whole defense as is constructed at the moment. You expect it to get better, and then when you do get, especially in Nichushkin, because he'll be back sooner than Landeskog, but ideally when both come back, but you do get Nichushkin back, and your ability to clog up the neutral zone with guys that can just disrupt play and put a shoot the other direction. And what you're not seeing right now is the Avalanche punish the desperation. You're seeing teams freely, Anaheim, St. Louis, Calgary,
there's
Washington.
No interest in going past the red line.
Exactly. They're jumping in and they're full sending with the desperation push in the third period. And the Avs are not capitalizing on mistakes, especially in the neutral zone, and forcing it the other way and creating the odd man rushes that you naturally give up when you force it and force it and force it. It has not, they have not been able to do any of that during this 7-1 stretch. That's the area that you look at and say, you could sit back and wait and play this game. As long as your counterattack is good and dangerous, you'll find a goal here and there to put games away and you'll be cozy. But when you don't do that,
include going 9 minutes without a shot on goal.
Exactly. When you don't counterattack, you don't put any pressure on them, and then they just the confidence just builds, the momentum builds. The quicksand gets deeper and deeper.
They're just struggling to get it out of their own zone.
Yeah,
I mean that's an issue. They're getting beat to the pucks because again, you don't have the mobility you have on the defensive line.
Yep. And when they do get the pucks, they rip it right into the first forward that's charging them down.
Well, and like you guys before I stomped off angrily, Andreas Englund just grabbed one and like just fully like launched this thing high and off the glass.
Yep.
Where it gets out.
But
it's so uncompetitive. Yeah. It's such a not competitive play that you turn around and they lose the ensuing faceoff.
Yep.
And you're just like, huh?
Not great.
It gets iced immediately. They lose the faceoff. It gets iced immediately. And Ray Ferraro was like, this is just great tactics. I love Ray Ferraro, by the way.
Me too.
I think so this is not a criticism, but I did laugh when he was like, this is great tactics. You're trying to get that rest. You ice the puck. You turn around. You win the faceoff. You ice it again. It's like, you know what they could have done after they won
not
the faceoff?
Ice it and change?
Chip and change, my man. My gosh.
But I want to
give
them...
And that's the difference, I think, is that there's no in-between.
Yeah.
We're fully icing it, or we're not getting it out of the zone. They're not getting it out with possession. They're not getting it out and turning it into danger.
I think that's fair. I do think after the second goal from St. Louis got scored, it wasn't good, but the Avalanche at least remembered that they have to be awake and play hockey to win the game.
I only heard three oh gods from the two of you in the next 8 minutes.
Yeah, that's way less than seven.
So.
It's true. It's true. It's less than last game.
And look, some nights that's how you have to get it across the finish line.
Yeah,
it's just the way it goes in the NHL sometimes.
The average score in the NHL is like 3 point something to 2 point something, right? Yeah. Like you're talking about this. The 3-2 games are where it's at in the NHL. That's why we always talk about it's a race to three. If you can get that fourth one, as they absolutely did today, I remember they did that.
Good job, Brad.
They got that fourth one. But you'd love that fourth one with 50 seconds to play and not four.
I mean, you'd love that fourth one with 15 minutes to play when you're on the power play in the third period.
Anytime you can get it, really.
And that power play was really disappointing.
Yeah. If I could get the fourth before the third, I'm fine with it.
I don't know how you manage that one. Our king of the game here, the guy to be involved in two of the Avs goals, and really, while it's not super flashy, has just played out of his mind.
Yep.
LOC. He was a beast tonight. No doubt about it.
Absolute big love for the work that he's putting in and the effort and the way that he's helping kind of spark Newhook to a different level as well. We'll give him a little bit of that credit too. Of course, Newhook deserves plenty of it, but LOC, just two really good plays. You know, the first one we talked about already in depth, the just a little chip off the wall. Second play, he goes and picks up a puck from Ben Myers, who wins that 2v1 on the boards, and just gives it to Girard, a basic shot, and JT Compher with the rebound. Like, very easy hockey.
There's no secret to it, right?
Nice rebound.
The puck tends to find your best players on any given night.
Yeah.
Because they're in the right places doing the right things. And that sums up Logan O'Connor, basically.
Well, and you just go watch his whole game and what he does that doesn't show up on anything that you're going to see on a score sheet, right? Like, it's awesome. He's getting those assists. Great. But, like, the amount of forechecking that he does, you know, just being a pest to the other team every shift, it's hard to play against those guys. I'm guessing, you know, the tape's out on him now. You know what you're getting when that third line comes over the boards.
Oh, yeah.
They're running you down. Yeah.
Well, and the tape can be out, but
you're not going to stop it.
Well, it's not like, you know, because we talk about how opposing teams' pre-scouts are pretty limited to begin with.
Yeah.
Newhook's still a baby, Chad. He's the perpetual prince of the game.
They're not going to be like, okay, gang. They've got three all-stars, two forwards on two different lines. Watch out for Logan O'Connor and Alex Newhook. You know, like, they're not, like, that's not like the group that they're going to be keen on.
They don't
on.
Have
they're
enough
be
time
like,
in the video section.
They're going to be like, all right, here are the big dogs. Like, you guys all know them. You guys have seen all the highlights. You have to key on those guys. And if those other guys beat us, you live with it.
Yeah.
And the Avs right now, Newhook in particular, is just like,
I'm going to beat you.
I'm going to do that then. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and beat you. The development that he has had playing at center in particular is extremely encouraging.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel anything but big, big love for both LOC and Alex Newhook.
Yep.
We're only allowed one king in the game. We're not allowed to do two.
The song is called Two Princes, not Two
and,
Kings.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, Newhook was never trade bait for Bo Horvat. That was always just made up. Definitely consider him the prince of the game, though. Newhook was great today. Again.
We got super chats to get to.
First one from Kevin Holbert.
$2 from Kevin says, close game, but good guys win. That sums it up.
It's true.
Why did we do a 50-minute show, honestly?
Well, well said, Kevin.
$20 from Banks, who says, was on the course today, so missed the game until mid-third. Could have used pins and aces to take strokes off my 103 score. Hey, I mean, you're almost breaking 100, man. That's, like, better than a lot of golfers. He said put the 2 points on the board. I missed the last part. I'm sorry. It's gone forever. Oh, it's down there. Look at that.
This is the life feed, by the way.
The 2 points make it all better. Let's get healthy over the break. There we go.
Yeah.
Clock or the camera was in.
It's going to be like Tuesday, and they're going to be fully healthy.
Yeah, right.
Like, they were so, like, Nichushkin was borderline for today.
Could have gone. If
yeah,
they
he'll be
it.
He'll be good.
I'm pretty sure Manson could definitely go if they needed it.
I think they were just playing it safe with both Byram and Manson, being like, we've got the break. They'll skate with the team. They'll do all the ramping up, and then when that comes back, they'll be full go.
And then $50 from the unbelievably generous Drew, as so often he does. Can we transport Bitchington back to the 70s or 80s so he can have Hextall or Billy Smith retire his sorry ass? He would murder that guy.
Oh, my God, dude.
Anyhow, continuing to love Nui and praying the rest of the boys are good to go after the break. Yeah. Yeah, those goalies were
away
built
with any of that shit that he's trying to pull.
I mean, Hextall or Billy Smith, Patrick Waugh, like, well, you know, even throw Ray Emery at him and let Ray Emery go and beat his ass.
I mean, if you're talking 70s, 80s hockey, like in the 70s, a forward would run you, like, just come across the crease with a high stick and put an end to this BS.
Yeah,
CM Punk wins the Rumble. I'm joking.
Confer's not getting gonna traded, happen. Guys.
Yeah.
JT. JT Confer's not going anywhere, fam.
Yeah, why would a team trying to contend for a back-to-back move a piece like that out? It's weird. Not going to happen.
I also don't know where Sean Monahan helps you. He's never healthy.
Especially if you believe in Alex Newhook and Evan Rodriguez. And if you don't, go get a better 2C than Sean Monahan.
That's Sean Monahan just isn't the guy that you think of when you think Sean Monahan. You think 65-point seasons, you think 30 goals. Now you've got a myriad of injuries. He just hasn't been nearly that guy. It's been several seasons.
No. Blaze, I never did get to ask you. Are you hyped on the new All-Star Game stuff, all the wacky like skills competition stuff they're doing, or you did not care?
I mean, try something new. It's been, you know, it's been pretty stagnant, so I won't have a comment till after. I do like the throwback jerseys that they're wearing though.
I love those, pretty by dope. The way. What do you guys think?
Florida jerseys, I'm telling you.
Should we build a drinking game for the All-Star Skills competition?
I'm here for it.
Just get
for like the broadcast, like what they're gonna say.
No, for any of it.
Oh, okay,
we're gonna skills competition and chill and get absolutely lit. Is what's gonna happen?
Yeah, like have like a.
No, that'd be a live. That'd be live.
Yeah,
show.
We would do live, and we would just hang out and watch it with the fans. You know, with people who are gonna be watching it anyway.
Yeah.
Not a professional show. Like, we would absolutely be drinking and carrying on.
Maximum casual show.
Sure. Like, I think that could be a really good one. And we're not going to do it for the actual All-Star Game.
The actual All-Star Game you can miss me with.
Yeah. But the skills competition would be, I think that'd be fun.
Well, keep it posted. Even with the 9-day break, we will still be bringing you the podcast 5 days a week. It is a podcast. If you missed the video, you can catch us on whatever podcast listening app you use. If you want to give us 5 stars on that thing, that helps us out a ton as well. And this weekend, don't miss it. There's still 2 days left on the sale to get shirts like this. Actually, I don't know if this one's on sale, but we have a bunch of shirts with Avalanche stuff on it, 50% off. It's most of the championship ones.
Yeah, it's the championship ones and all hell kale.
Yeah, which is 25, I think.
Yeah.
But lots of sales shirts. Go look at them. Go buy them. Go get cool stuff. And last but not least, Kadri coming to town at the end of February. We're doing a takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Get the people in the building. Even if you already have tickets to the game, you can buy a bus ticket from the bar to the arena, back to the bar for just $20. It's literally cheaper than parking at the arena, and it comes with free beer. So you might as well jump on that, even if you already have tickets. Come join us. Come have a blast.
If you don't, though, getting a ticket to that game through our event
gets you a free shirt.
Gets you a free shirt as well. So if you want to go to a game and instead of buying one of the 50% off shirts, you get a ticket to the game, get to go to Kadri's return, and get a free shirt that you get to wear to that game.
Yep. Math adds up.
Dope deal. We have gotten you. You have paid for you pay for it. We get you drunk. We take you to a game, and we clothe you. You should just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just send it.
Yeah. I just don't know what we're talking about here. We're giving you guys the hookup there. 9-day break, man. We're here on Monday morning, or I guess Monday afternoon. We'll be back Monday afternoon with another show.
Well, I mean, we'll probably be from home for that show, but yeah.
No, we'll be here.
Are we here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Anyway, yes.
Doesn't matter. We love you all.
McDavid.
We'll be back Monday. If McDavid tries, it's definitely McDavid. But we appreciate you. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.